Hello, friends, and welcome once again to another episode of Under Western Stars, the all-cowboy radio show that comes to you from the old home ranch in Doney Park out north of Flagstaff, Arizona. My guest today is Dean Cook, and Dean is an elder statesman of cowboy music, poetry, culture, and humor here in the state of Arizona. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Tony. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, it is. By the miracle of Zoom, we're gathering this morning. Dean, first of all, I'm curious, would you speak just a little bit about your childhood, growing up conditions around the Northland?
Okay, well, I'm a native Arizonan. My grandparents from both sides moved here in 1917 to farm. I was actually born in Peoria, Arizona, not Illinois. From there to Camp Verde, Happy Jack, Long Valley, and mostly Flagstaff, which is what I claim is a hometown, although I left there right after college. My younger days were spent kicking back and forth between the town and the country. Dad was with the Forest Service, and we went to the woods in the summer, then back to where we could go to school in the fall. So at one point, we lived in the summers in a long cabin up on the rim, a place called General Springs. We lived in an old former line shack at a place called Kinder Springs, which doesn't even exist anymore. And the ranger stations and logging camps through the years. That's kind of how my life went.
Well, it sounds like a great childhood, Dean. We're going to be listening today to some cuts from your CD, which is entitled Live on the Butterfield Stage. And why don't we start off with that Tall Tales and Treasures song.
Okay, that's kind of my statement, I guess. I've always been interested in connecting the stories and the folklore. That particular one, our friend Ed Berlin, some years back, wrote a song called The Ballad of John Shaw about one of my favorite outlaws. I don't do very many covers, but I wanted to do that song, so I made a swap with Ed. I sat down with his CD and started learning a song. And every time I started on it, it reminded me of another story I wanted to tell. So I wrote Tall Tales and Treasures and never did learn Ed's song.
Okay, let's listen to the song.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad to be back. I made out a very elaborate set list and left it laying on the desk as usual, but those things never work anyway, so we'll just go here and there. If you heard something before that you like, feel free to just yell it out between numbers. I know what you want. Up on Stoneman Lake Road when I was just a kid, my dad said, when you pass here, look around. Those outlaws came this way with that stolen Clarkdale payroll. They were caught, but the bag was never found. And after all these years, each time I drive that road, my eyes are always searching, so it seems. But I don't know if I'm looking for that lost outlaw's payroll or still searching for that kid's forgotten dreams. Has Secret Canyon ever really given up its secret? Does Peralta Canyon hide a Spanish mine? Are those silver pesos buried along the Rivas Trail? Is the Dutchman's gold up there for men to find? Ah, but wait a minute, Dad. If you don't mind me saying so, I've heard that story many times before. But sometimes that stash is at the head of Secret Canyon, and sometimes it's down in Sycamore. And I've even heard it said that old Bub and his partner found it back in 1944. 600 in old bills, a sack of silver dollars, and some gold they bootlegged down to Mexico. Has Secret Canyon ever really given up its secret? Does Peralta Canyon hide a Spanish mine? Are those silver pesos buried along the Rivas Trail? Is the Dutchman's gold up there for men to find? I've known men who cut their lives short searching for the Dutchman's gold. Those that say the Dutchman was a fake. And I knew an ancient miner swore his daddy knew old Jacob, said that mine is now beneath Apache Lake. Things that happen in the searching make strong men believe in curses. There's stories there that never can be told. I've known a man to have wondered if gold fever drove them mad, or if madness drove them to the search for gold. In a draw up on the three bar, I once found an old Arastra, stone grails where no stock should ever be. And I spent a long day searching for signs of ancient diggings, wondering if that vein was waiting there for me. Though I never found that vein, never even found a nugget, no outlaw's dash or mystic mother lode. As time goes on, I realize that joy is in the searching, and I'd rather have the stories than the gold. Has Secret Canyon ever really given up its secret? Does Sprawl to Canyon hide a Spanish mine? Are those silver pesos buried along the Rivas Trail? Is the Dutchman's gold up there for men to find? Did the Dutchman ever really have a mine?
Dean, do you recall your first exposure to cowboy poetry?
Growing up in Camp Verde, particularly, it was a cow town at that time, and we grew up with the music and the poetry. I wasn't too impressed with the poetry in those days, but I loved the music. Later on, I got involved in the cowboy poetry gatherings and heard some of the modern versions of poetry, and I really liked it.
Okay, let's listen to the next cut, which is entitled Bob.
Well, we're ramping up for the Arizona Statehood Centennial coming up in 2012. It's got me thinking back a little bit over. It's a little scary to think that I've been through three quarters of that, or nearly three quarters of that. So, anyway, this is a tribute to one of my earlier mentors. Some said bad influences. Bob's ranch house was a tin roof shack on a scrub he called his spread, barely glass enough to keep a cow alive. Some wondered why he bothered with his 50 sorry head when it took at least 100 to survive. And some said he was crazy to stay beat up and broke, running cattle in a land rough as a cut. And some said he was lazy and his ranch was just a joke, an excuse to keep from holding down a job. But when Cansee turned to Catsee and the fire was burning low, the evening breeze was rising soft and cool, the 50 years between us disappeared into the glow. He taught me things I never learned in school. We'd find him riding day work when the bills were coming due, or building fence on someone else's ground. To make an honest dollar wasn't much he wouldn't do, except to take a job and move to town. I was 17 that summer, out of school and full of plans, day that Bob came by our place to say he needed one good hand down on the Verde clearing land. The preacher told him I might be okay. And when Cansee turned to Catsee and the fire was burning low, the evening breeze was rising soft and cool, the 50 years between us disappeared into the glow. He taught me things I never learned in school. This next verse will date Bob a little bit, and by extension me, I guess. He rode with Black Jack Pershing back when B across the line, and he mustanged over in New Mexico. He made a little money, and he never kept a dime, but he learned some things he thought I ought to know. That life is more than money, and a handshake is a bond. Friend is still a friend, right or wrong. Though this world is tough, there's a better day beyond, and success just means to be where you belong. And when Cansee turned to Catsee and the fire was burning low, the evening breeze was rising soft and cool, the 50 years between us disappeared into the glow. He taught me things I never learned in school.
Dean, you're a talented songwriter, a great performer, and I think of you most fondly as a humorist. Do you have anything to say about Western humor?
Not really. It's just, it's kind of inherited. It has always has been. Western people have always been able to see the humor in what happened. And otherwise, it would be unbearable.
Okay, let's listen to one of your humorous songs. Where do you go when there's no place to go on the Grand Canyon Trail?
Oh, this, here's one that... when I first wrote this, it was considered a little risque or off color, at least borderline. And nowadays, you can get turned on your TV, you get hit on the head with a horse anytime you choose. But several years ago now, Dan and I were sitting in a restaurant next to some tourists who were debating about whether to ride the mules down the Grand Canyon. And the debate went on for some time. There was one lady in particular who really didn't want to go. And her loud argument was loud and repeated, and it went something like this. Where do you go when there's no place to go on Bright Angel Trail? When nature calls and there's no place at all, you know it never fails. They don't provide a place inside like you get when you travel by rail. So where do you go when there's no place to go on Bright Angel Trail? Believe it or not, this is one of my most successful songs. It's been recorded several times. Last half, we made 18 cents in royalties. Now, if you're driving your car and you go very far, McDonald's is probably near. When you travel by bus, there's no need to fuss. There's that little room at the rear. When the friendly skies, if you're caught by surprise, there's a cubicle back by the tail. But where do you go when there's no place to go on Bright Angel Trail? Where can you do what you just gotta do when there are no bushes or trees? And you're riding straddle on a western saddle and you can't even clench your knees. They'll all know what's the matter when your teeth start to chatter and your face gets sweaty and pale. But where do you go when there's no place to go on Bright Angel Trail? Where's them repulsed when we need her the most? There's some things we really must know. If you're caught on a ledge, should you go to the edge and yell, look out below? Is it just a faux pas, or if caught by the law, will they drag you off to the jail? Tell me, what are the rules when you're riding the mules down Bright Angel Trail? 'Cause if there's no place to go, then I guess I won't go down Bright Angel Trail. And they didn't.
Dean, it's hard to think about Western humor and not think about your brother, Jim, who was such a wonderful humorist. Tell me just a little bit about your brother, Jim Cook.
Well, Jim was, he's a little older than I was, but he always knew he wanted to be a writer from the time he was old enough to write. He ended up being a reporter or a columnist and puts out several books. He liked to refer to himself as Arizona's official liar. When he was challenged one time about not having a certificate, he said, if you're a good enough liar, you don't need a certificate.
I read Jim's columns in the Arizona Republic for many years before I ever had the pleasure of meeting him, but I grew to prize him as a great friend. Let's listen now to Silver Spurs.
Another little number about cowboys and their toys, I guess. This thing originated with a casual conversation at a cowboy gathering up the Grand Canyon several years back and just sat there and kind of fermented or composted or something. And till another conversation at the Prescott gathering several years later brought it all to light. Fancy spurs, the finest silver, chased with the purest gold, hand-tooled straps of premium leather, such a pleasure to behold. Well, the raffle tickets cost $1, and it was for a worthy cause, so I went and put my buck down, though I felt just like Santa Claus. Buck a ticket, so I bought one, never dreaming that I'd win, or that when I won no silver spurs, my troubles would begin. Well, I went to strap my new spurs on as I started out the door, but my old boots were getting shabby. I hadn't noticed that before. Left the store an hour later, admiring how my new spurs gleam on my $600 lizard skin boots beneath my new designer jeans. Not to mention the $45 painted desert shirt, the new silk wild rag, and the silver gray 4X beater Stetson. Well, we had some cattle straying. Thought I'd go bring in a few, but when I went to put my old chaps on, I could see they wouldn't do. With all those cuts and burns and scratches, stained with sweat and blood and worse, might be okay for some old saddle bum, but not for a man with silver spurs. Buck a ticket, so I bought one, never dreaming that I'd win, that when I won those silver spurs, my troubles would begin. Well, the chaps cost almost $1,000, and they took 2 weeks to make. Thought I was ready to go back to work, which was my next mistake. Went to saddle up my old pony, thought I'd go and out and ride some fence, but new boots and them old stirrups, that didn't make much sense. Well, the saddle cost $3,000. You know the rest, of course. I couldn't put that brand new saddle on that sorry old swayback horse. That Palomino sure is pretty, but hey, he costs some major bucks. Oh well, the new house can last, you wait a year or two. The wife can have my old truck. Buck a ticket, so I bought one, never dreaming that I'd win, nor that when I won no silver spurs, my troubles would begin. So I went out and told the boss that I was finally set to go. He said, you know, we filled your job. It's been about a month ago. Anyway, you ain't riding in that getup, because I can see just what had happened. The stock will scatter for the hills, and the crew will fall down laughing. Said, maybe you ought to get a guitar and learn some Gene Autry songs. So the horse went to the auction, and my wife went to her mom. Saddle's in the pawn shop, and I sold the shafts to Uncle Tom. These boots don't look that good in the feedlot where I've been working since last fall, but hey, I still got my silver spurs. That's them hanging on the wall. Buck a ticket, so I bought one, never dreaming that I'd win, that when I won those silver spurs, my troubles would begin.
Dean, I know your mind must be constantly going, and as you go through your life and you see things, light bulbs must flash as ideas for poems or songs. The next tune we're going to listen to is one of my favorite, and it's based on the Grand Canyon. I think you do a fine job of introducing it in the recording. You have sort of a special relationship with the Grand Canyon. Tell me about it.
I spent a lot of time there, especially being from Flagstaff. I've been to the bottom. I've encountered the difficulties. I've been to Havasu. And as I recall, you and I have played the Grand Canyon Railroad together. It's one of my special places.
Dean, so many of your poems and songs center on historical events and bring them home in a really personal way. Our next song about the Keystone Hotel is just a great example of that. Do you have a comment for that?
It just caught my eye, and I thought it was worthy of a little recognition, and I think the CD explains it.
Okay, here's the Grand Canyon Suite.
This one requires a little explanation, but this also requires some audience participation. We haven't had that yet. It all starts, I think, with an artist of sorts who calls himself Cristo. Have you heard of him? He's been around. His thing is going around and covering large objects in unlikely materials. He was last seen, I think, over in Germany, where he wrapped the Reichstag building in aluminum foil. He's been down the Caribbean, wrapping an entire island in pink muslin. But like most famous artists, Cristo has his disciples and imitators, and one of them is called Nicolino. These guys all have only one name, for instance, but for whatever reason. Nicolino doesn't wrap things. He collects brassieres. You may have seen him on the news. He's got this cable spool thousands of braziers tied together, he pulls behind it. You know, where I used to work, we had a different name for that, but in Southern California, apparently, it's called art. He goes around stringing these things. He was up at Granite Dells near Payson, near Prescott, a few years back doing that. Nicolino's dream is to string a bridge of braziers across the Grand Canyon. Now, he hasn't been able to do that yet or get permission, but it was a picture I couldn't resist. This has a sing-along chorus, and you're all welcome to join in. Hardly anyone ever does. It goes like this. So, hurrah, hurrah, give us your bra, be it underwear, padded, or sport. Let it cross the canyon instead of your heart. The artist needs your support. I know you can do that. I'll be watching. We'll build an exhibit that's easily seen from Toro Weep clear down to Valley. From brink to brink, garments pretty and pink, from maiden form, Olga and Bally. Here we go. Hurrah, hurrah, give us your bra, be it underwear, padded, or sport. Let it cross the canyon instead of your heart. The artist needs your support. Very good. Full figured or small, we're accepting them all in shocking pink fuchsia or red brick. Even plain white brassieres from Walmart or Sears, though we really prefer those from Frederick. Think that's a bad rhyme. Wait till the next verse. Anyway, here we go. So hurrah, hurrah, give us your bra, be it underwire, padded, or sport. Let it cross the canyon instead of your heart. The artist needs your support. I wonder what Ralph's going to think of this. We'll be hanging them out for the whole world to see. Those garments folks used to just peek at. Here it comes. Festooning the place with satin and lace and exposing Victoria's secret. So hurrah, hurrah, give us your bra, be it underwire, padded, or sport. Let it cross the canyon instead of your heart. The artist needs your support. So come all you ladies and give us a lift. We know that you'll all do your part. Support the arts with a generous gift, a gift that comes from the heart. So hurrah, hurrah, give us your bra, be it underwear, padded, or sport. Let it cross the canyon instead of your heart. The artist needs your support. Okay, give yourselves a hand.
Well, Dean, it's always a pleasure to be in your company. Through the years, we've had a lot of fun performing together, as you mentioned, on the Grand Canyon Railway and cowboy music and poetry gatherings around the area. If someone wanted to contact you, how should they do that?
The only way right now is just by email. It's Arizona Minstrel, AZMINSTREL at yahoo.com.
That's AZMinstrel at yahoo.com. Send a message off to Dean and get one of his CDs.
Right. We can make arrangements there. Otherwise, when I appear at gatherings, music festivals, or so on, the CDs are mostly available. The next thing I know is coming up would be the Glendale Parks Sorora Ranch Festival coming up the first weekend in March. If it happens, I'll be there and the CDs will be for sale.
Excellent. Dean, thank you once again for being our guest today. Folks, you're listening to Under Western Stars. I'm Tony Norris, your host. Our engineers are Matt Sarnoski and Greg Hales. We receive support and encouragement from the Historic Museum Club and Flagstaff. We thank them for their support. And until next time, thank you very much, buckaroos and buckarettes. If we don't see you in the future, we'll see you in the pasture.